Hello, and welcome to the Divined Comedy, the only Dante podcast you'll ever need, ostensibly. I'm Paul Cantrell.
David Fountain,
just saying the name.
No
now,
verbs.
Huh? No, don't need them. Ain't got time, baby.
People know.
I would hope at some point. Yeah, I guess by now they probably.
Oh no, I mean I know that I think that if you just say your name, you have to say my name is.
Yeah, fair.
You know, context clues.
Although I mean those name tags, they bother to write out my name is, you know, Marshall Mathers style.
Right.
They do that, but I guess I mean I don't know.
Idiots.
You see, like, or like in a, like an email.
Wasteful.
Or I'll say, like, Paul Cantrell here. I do that sometimes. I feel like that's not, I don't know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, I guess. But
you're not saying, I'm Paul Cantrell and I am here.
Sometimes I'll write people and it's just incredibly forced and stilted where I'll say, dear so-and-so, it's just like total cold call, cold email. And I'll say,
right.
My name is Paul Cantrell. I'm writing to you because it's like, well,
yeah.
Just skip to the – cut to the chase.
Son. Yeah, I don't want
to
give out your email address, but it does, it's pretty clear what your name is from the address.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. We do these redundant things.
Like, it's weird that it's my name is Paul Cantrell at gmail.com. They know.
They should know. I was talking with somebody the other day about that, about when you're shaking someone's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Just people – we were talking about, you know, different people at different degrees of being good with names. And so we were like, oh, I'm terrible with names, because the whole time you're shaking the person's hand and they tell you their name, you're thinking, this interaction's going well. And you're kind of like having like a meta commentary on the thing that you're doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And by the end of it, you're like, I've totally forgot their name.
You judge people by like the strength of their grip.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like, this is a good handshake. Yeah, completely just kind of giving yourself over to analyzing the kind of metadata of like – eye contact, how long the handshake is going, how well the handshake is going,
right.
You know,
making
grip,
sure they have
et cetera, plate. Sweat level. And you forget the thing, the word that they go by, the sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It shouldn't even mean name. It should be like, this is my sound. Paul. That's just, you know, I don't want to break it down to like just bare phonemes here. But,
no,
you
let's
know,
do it.
You know, it's just noise.
Yeah.
Have we talked about this before?
When light reflects off me and is absorbed by your eyes.
And the cones flip the image.
This is how I look. This is how I physically appear.
Listen,
is the space which I occupy.
It's what people are, it's just the things we don't say, the things we don't talk about, you know?
Yeah.
We just take it for granted. Actually, I don't think anybody thinks that way when they meet people. They just, I don't know, whatever. I don't know what people do.
They should.
I don't know. You said that nothing's really new with you, which is kind of – I mean, I asked you as we kind of set up in the room like seconds before recording. Everything's just the same?
Yeah.
Cool.
I bought a projector.
Is that interesting?
No.
Wait, what kind of projector? Is it a dirty projector? Is that a band?
It's a band.
All right,
the Dirty Projectors.
Yeah. I might just be projecting here.
Yeah. No, I mean it's just for visuals for live shows.
I'm working
on stuff.
Oh, like large scale, not like a projector for like your house or home.
It could be.
Oh.
I got a really cheap one to see if I was into this and if it goes well.
What's the verdict? Into it, out of it?
I don't know. I mean, like I got here a little late because I was at the Walmarts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I went to all the pawn shops.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How'd
they don't have
go?
Them. They don't have them. No projectors.
Interesting.
I'm getting really
– What did they have?
No, you're getting into projection.
What did they have in these pawn shops? Like, I'm picturing like guns, knives.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's one in my hometown of Conyers that is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I really actually do like pawn shops a lot. I bought a trumpet recently,
last week. Nice.
Because I have two, but one is in Kentucky. It's with the band's trailer. And the other one's over in Europe,
just
to avoid having to, you know, carry one over there.
Well, you got it. Yeah, you just have to have instruments.
You just have to you got to leave.
Stowed in different parts of it, yeah.
That's – but it's about a trumpet for like writing and doing stuff with the trumpet here.
How many
chops up.
Is enough, really? Three so
At
far.
A time?
Yeah, I was doing that the other day. I was walking around town. I was like, oh, it's kind of warm. I wish – like, and I started just kind of like stowing, having like little caches of clothing. Like,
oh,
I'm going to just like put this scarf here and then a few hours when the sun goes down, I'll be glad I left that scarf there. I'll come back up, scoop up that scarf.
That's smart.
Yeah. Well, I try. You know.
That's smart. It's a smart scarf.
Wasn't Smurf the guy on He-Man?
That was Snarf.
Snarf.
With an N.
No, that was Lion-O. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Orko.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Orko.
The
Snarf
representation
is Thundercats.
Of
I'm
death.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Orko is the... Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody thinks about Orko in that way.
He had no corporeal form.
No. He was just like a pair of eyeballs and just like a red flowing gown. And he was basically the representation of like the Grim Reaper. But he was friendly. They turned him into kind of like an Urkel Kramer character.
Yeah.
Somehow. That's where death gets you.
He was wearing like an Alvin and the Chipmunks style, like a moo-moo.
Exactly. It was exactly. It was kind of like
a moo-moo and a wizard's hat.
Sort of like intellectual property. It was kind of creeping in on their territory. I tell you what, though, that's where they get you. Kramer, Urkel, death lived next door, you know?
Yeah. It's a good
point.
What
was that old thing we talked about? Death mows the lawn.
Death mows his lawn.
There was a guy with, I think he's still there, and I'm sure I've heard
he is.
Really
I,
nice
I,
guy.
Yeah.
But had all this like wrought iron, almost like Game of Thrones level, like before that was a thing. Just all this furniture out on the front lawn. And we were like, just sit there like with a chalice.
Yeah, he
watching
just,
the traffic
like,
go by.
Drink his morning coffee, like sitting in this wrought iron throne that he had built in his front yard.
Like Joffrey, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about pawn shops.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
All right. So they usually have a lot of, there's a lot of guns. A lot of video games from one and two generations ago.
Like generations of people?
No, like generations of video games.
Oh,
like
okay.
PS3s.
Okay. I thought you were talking about like baby boomer video games because that's
yeah.
It's like an abacus basically.
Yeah, you know.
Backgammon and that little game they play on Lost with them. I don't know.
Jungle Golf? so they got a lot of that.
What is Jungle Golf?
You know, they're playing golf in the jungle on Lost.
Oh, I forgot about that. I thought you were talking about, like, disc golf.
Yeah.
Like, the jungle version golf. Of, like, the urban disc golf thing that happens sometimes.
Right. No, not so much.
That's fine.
Some stores are better than others. There's usually a lot of power tools.
Uh-huh.
And then musical instruments. And it's a lot of, like, BC Rich, PV, you know, like...
I know PV. I don't know BC Rich.
BC Rich, they made a guitar in the 80s called the Warlock.
I was going to say older than the 80s because you're talking BC, baby.
Yeah.
That's a remember that BC Warlock. That's old ass Warlock.
Well, now they're called BCE.
That's AD.
Yeah. I like pawn shops. Lots of watches.
I couldn't even really tell you where there are any around here.
Well, there's not really. There used to be one over Well, this doesn't matter.
That's fine, yeah.
There used to be
people
one.
Are dying to know. Hang on, think of like pen in hand. Like, where is it? Where's the pawn shop?
It's no longer there. But
even
it
better.
It was next to Wuxtry's Indicator.
Oh, yeah, I know that place.
Little shopping center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Shout out to Wuxtry.
It's a good one.
It's a great one. I'll tell you, I've been nesting pretty hard.
Oh, tell me.
I've just been going, your boy's been going hard and, you know, just birthdays and, you know, just, I mean, I'm a man about town, as you know.
Right, yeah.
And then every now and then you just need to, like, just stay in, just shut in for the day, you know?
Yeah.
And that is the weather's perfect for it. I got to tell you, I'm loving every minute of it. Fall is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
It's finally fall.
Yeah, it's nice. Not a day too soon, I say.
Agreed. I've been wearing a lot of flannel.
Yeah. I mean, look at your boy right now.
Yeah, I see it.
Killing
it.
I got a cardigan just on
that's the
waiting
three,
in the wings
the
here.
The three things that you need for fall.
For fall. Was it Fall Man was the
Oh, yeah.
Onion thing, walking down the street drinking a pumpkin spice
Mr.
latte.
Mr. Goddamn Autumn or something like that. Yeah. You got to have flannel.
Sure.
You got to have cardigans.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have hoodies.
Hoodies are nice.
Those are the
I go hoodie three. Under the army jacket. Oh.
Hoodie under that. That's a good one.
It's classic.
That's a good one. That's a good look.
Sometimes I go hoodie under the army jacket under a pea coat just to really lean into the number of military outfits I have not served in.
Right. Just you know, really kind of going for like
double
a,
down.
What was it Travis
Birkenstock? The sandals?
The
Travis Bickle.
Travis Bickle.
Travis
yes.
Bickle, yeah.
That's it.
From Taxi Driver, yeah.
Army jacket.
It's a similar jacket to what he has. It's kind of it's almost like a shirt, but it's like it could double as a jacket. Yeah. I mean, it's here in the room right now.
Really?
But, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like Chekhov's gun, baby. Don't get me started. Look at that. Busted out of cardigan.
Yeah, it's just...
Don't sleep on your boy. What is the Sinclair? I see you're wearing a hoodie. This is the Sinclair on it.
The Sinclair is a musical venue in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Oh,
not Boston.
England.
It's near Boston.
Sure. It's just across the bridge, right?
Right.
Across the Cam?
They have a university there.
Hmm. Maybe you heard of it?
Not in Boston, though. No, what not Tufts.
There's some euphemism for Harvard, so like people don't have to say Harvard, but I can't remember what it is. It's like when you say like, what? "Are you a friend of Bill's?" Or it's like it means like you're an AA, you know?
But oh, like, are you kind of thinking of like Eli for Yale?
I don't know. Eli?
Yeah.
That's a euphemism for Yale?
Yeah.
Is Yale backwards?
No. That would be Eli.
Eli. That's close enough.
I believe it was Elihu Yale was the founder of Yale. And so students there are called Elis.
It's above my pay grade, man.
If you are a cruciverbalist, as I am.
What does that mean?
A crossword enthusiast.
Oh, my God.
Cruciverbalist is – it's good because only someone who is one would be nerdy enough about words to –
I get that. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It makes sense. Cruciverbal – yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'm not a big cruciverbalist. I'm just using that word willy-nilly now.
Yeah.
I'm not same thing, Words with Friends. When Words with Friends came out, everybody wanted a piece of the chant, bro.
Yeah.
And I'm not even claiming to be good at it. They're like, you know words. You're an English nerd.
Yeah.
I want to play you in Words with Friends. I was like, I choose not to run. I wouldn't even download the app.
That's good.
Because everybody wanted a piece of the chant.
And
I don't even know if I'm even any good at it.
Well, I mean, you have – no one can say you're not.
I did tell you a long time ago, maybe in the exactly. Maybe in the very first episode – that I used to read the dictionary just for leisure and sport.
Right.
And you said, oh, we should definitely get into that sometime. And we never did. There's not really much
Let's
to say about
it.
No, there's really not much to say about it. I didn't bring the dictionary with me either because it's pretty big.
Your dictionary – yeah, you have an OED with like –
Well, no, there's that one, yeah.
That comes with like a magnifying glass.
It did come with a magnifying glass. It was the compact – I think it's a second edition OED. I think they're still on the second edition. I mean – They basically were one and done. I mean, second edition just added like jiggy to it, I think. And that was really the only difference. It
added like bootylicious.
Exactly. Like another $1,000 piece. No, but you for a pretty affordable fee or
– Willenium.
You're going to want to get on this. We've updated it, folks.
You got 1,000 years.
Basically just with 1999 pop culture references. Yeah, the OED is fantastic. You actually still have access to it on my phone somehow because of the
nice.
Probably shouldn't be saying this out loud, but because of when I was in grad school, I can't re-access a lot of stuff from them because my information lapsed, I guess. But for some reason, I'm still able to get into that OED. Just pull it up on my phone in the browser. It's fantastic. It's a great resource. The one I'm talking about it's a dictionary from the 60s. It's a Webster's, I think – New College Dictionary of the American Language, something like that.
Right.
It's like a hardcover, like one of those old – like I'm kind of showing you a book here. I brought in this other book, a psychoanalysis book. Kind of like traditional like Harvard-style burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
We just keep hitting –
Leather-bound.
Yeah. Like no, this is like not quite leather-bound, but it's – you know what I mean? It's like a hardcover thing. It's got like cardboard in it, whatever.
It would be on the top shelf of a used bookstore.
Yes, right next to the Margaritaville tequila.
Yes.
Top shelf.
I was going to say
next to the Cointreau,
to Grey's Anatomy.
Hell of a program. Hell of a
The DVD box set. That's what I mean. That's still in the air.
I don't know. What are they on now? It was you had McDreamy.
Yeah.
You had your McSteamy.
Uh huh.
You had your who came after that?
I think it was McDuck.
Launchpad McQuack was in the mix.
Right.
Then we.
And then they introduced they had a Robo Gizmo. What was the robot duck?
Season 8 was just a retelling of Macbeth. I'm pretty sure it was. You had Macbeth. You had Macduff. Banquo was in the mix.
Out damn tumor.
I gotta tell you, Banquo, real dullard. That's where the phrase "ghost at the feast" comes from.
I've never heard that phrase.
Ghost of the feast comes at. Ghost at the feast comes from if you say someone is at a party and they're just being a total downer, they're just hanging around sulking.
Sure.
You're like, oh, ghost of the feast, like get this guy out of here. Banquo literally is the ghost at the feast because his ghost shows up and haunts Macbeth at the feast.
Okay,
yeah, it's a good phrase. It's fine.
I like it. Yeah,
it's not quite. It's like a little more aggressively. Downer
wet blanket
than, yeah, than like wallflower really just means like you're kind of neutral,
yeah,
you know. Let me ask you a question, David. Do you think of yourself as a more of a wallflower or more of a life of the party kind of guy?
Why do you think I'm a wallflower?
Why what makes you say that?
I've struggled with some social anxiety.
I too
years.
Have I feel like I don't know, I'm not willing to categorize people as And people say like, I'm INTP or I'm like into STP or whatever. And they just let that go. Or like they take like the Briggs-Myers test and they're like, oh, this is who I am categorically. This is who I am all the time, 24 hours a day. I don't think that's remotely true.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think I'm like – I'm not like pioneering some new chapter of social science or what – when saying this. It's just and saying that people aren't the same every second of every day.
Yeah,
but like I walk into certain situations and I'm like, okay, I don't know anybody here. I'm not sure that I want to. I'm just going to kind of hang back a little bit, kind of read the room a little bit.
Right.
I may just leave in a few minutes. Who knows? Then there's other situations where you walk in and just decide like, okay, let's do this. You walk in, you're like, hey, what's going on? Like I'm, you know, just start introducing yourself around, you know, smiling, shaking hands.
I like that the is it Briggs-Myers?
Yeah.
Myers-Briggs, whatever.
I might be saying
I like that they, you know, it's years and years of research. And,
yep.
And you have come up with an equally valid view on it, which is I don't agree, which is fine. I'm an INFP.
What does that mean?
Introvert.
Nerd.
Nerd. I don't remember what the N is. Feeling. INFP. Perceptive.
Okay.
Maybe.
And the opposite of feeling is thinking, right?
Yeah.
I gotta disagree.
Okay.
You can have emotional intelligence.
Yeah, but I think it's like what, you know, like 51% of the time.
All right.
Which way you're going.
I guess.
I'm trying to look up famous INFPs.
Oh, okay.
Because they have this for every single like iteration.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know anything about it. And people say like, you know, this is what I am. What is like, I don't even know what that means. I also don't necessarily – you can see that and say like, okay, so this validates what I always thought about myself. So therefore I'm going to lean into being this thing even more. I just don't see how it's really constructive, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean it's just it's just data. It's having a qualitative way to explain something, I guess.
Yeah.
Let me tell you some famous INFPs.
Sure.
Princess Di, Audrey Hepburn, Mr. Rogers, John Lennon.
Wait, the character or the man?
Fred Rogers.
Okay. I was thinking of Fred Rogers earlier because when I came in, I took off the army jacket, was going to put on the cardigan. It's kind of like, you know, starting off the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Show.
Yeah.
Change shoes, that whole thing. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, excuse me. and then, you know, you got some people like William Shakespeare. Yeah, so
are
that's kind of like my personality type. First of all, we don't even know if he existed.
You don't know if he existed. You think he was Christopher Marlowe. We can't believe we're back.
I think there was several people.
God,
I think there are Shakespearean writers.
So you...
It's much like the letters of Paul.
My boy. My man.
Corinthians. He didn't write that.
How do you... Whatever. I'm not taking the bait here. But the point is, you found a really nice way to put yourself in the company of Lady Diana.
Uh-huh.
William Shakespeare. So, like, what about,
A. Milne. That's a good one.
Yeah, wrote Winnie the Pooh, all that. He wrote all that.
I mean, you know there's some good ones in there.
But my point is, did they ever put people that you wouldn't necessarily want to be associated with?
I mean, like, we can look up what Hitler's type was.
Whoa, see? This Goblin's Law all over again. You go straight to Hitler.
Jesus was an INFP.
I'm not sure if he had time to take the test. He was pretty busy.
I mean, there's some good ones. There's, like, Luke, the disciple, John, the disciple.
How do you get a personality?
Mary, Mother of God. The one that you Catholic heathens worship.
So you're in the cool camp. Awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm over here. It's like me, like Fred Durst. I don't even know what my type is. And no knock on Fred Durst. I mean, he's great. But I forget. We were on a whole string of tangents here. And
let's – okay.
I'm feeling a little – I'm not going to lie. I'm feeling a little – I'm going to get up to that point. I'm feeling a little lower energy than I have in the last few episodes. And I feel like that's okay. It's part of the nesting thing. The weather's cooled off. You know.
Oh, okay.
What?
51% of the time, would you say you're introverted?
Are you going to give me the test on the air?
Yes. I'm just going to –
No one wants to hear this.
But I'm not going to ask you all the questions.
All right. That's fine.
Introverted or extroverted?
Introverted.
Okay.
You wouldn't know it from listening to the 70 some odd hours of me talking on a podcast, but
sensing or intuitive?
I don't know that I don't know. tuna plate or platter? I don't understand the question, therefore I do not answer the question.
The Ike and tuna.
Ike and Turner. What does that mean? Sensing versus intuitive. All right, you know what? This is the episode now. This is what we're going to talk about. Yeah. Briggs-Meyer. Okay, Myers-Briggs, whatever. First of all, which is it? Does it matter who gets top billing?
Myers-Briggs.
Okay. MB.
This is total crap.
In your mind, what is the difference between sensing and intuitive? Because if I say I intuit, I say like, David, I'm sensing that you're a little, you know,
do you feel that,
trepidatious. I mean, am I not intuiting that? Is that not the same thing?
I think it's – I mean, do you require external things to come to a decision? Or is it something that you like almost innately know?
Both.
Well, yeah, but 51%
of the time. I mean, I'm a science-based man, David. If there's one thing you know about me, it's that I'm into science. By the way, people out there, they are anti-science. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Science literally – have we talked about this? Science literally etymological – like it just means knowledge. So if you're anti-science, you're basically just anti-knowing stuff.
So you're saying that Scientologists
– oh, God.
Are
– it's
they study
the
knowledge.
Study of knowing stuff, which is separate from epistemology. Also, I don't think that's what that means. But
no. –
Epistemology is basically like episteme, is the science of how – or the study of how you come to know things.
Okay. Learning.
So this is what you're asking me here is essentially an epistemological question, right?
Yeah.
Am I more sensitive – see, but again, like
– You already said sensitive. You already said sensing. So we're on IS.
No, wait. Hang on. Okay. Sensing meaning like a tactile sense, like I need to be able to touch it to believe it.
Yeah.
I believe I'm intuitive insofar as like I can see somebody and say like, okay, that person is having this kind of day or this person is, you know.
Right.
But is that the kind of intuition they're talking about? Like a mother's intuition?
Yeah, I think so.
I may be overthinking this.
I think you are. And is that the answer?
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go with the first one. Whatever.
IS. Okay. Judging versus feeling.
Feeling.
ISF. Okay.
Wait, judge. There are four questions for the whole test. This is how I get my four letters.
Wait. Hold on. I'm sorry. I was
judging like I'm being judgmental.
Thinking versus feeling.
Oh, boof. Thinking.
Okay. IST. And then perceiving versus judging.
Perceiving. Although I don't know what they mean by judging.
So that
I could judge something to be like a small meal.
ISJP.
That doesn't sound good.
ISJP.
That's for the famous ISJPs.
Yep.
This is a hell of a – I don't know if this is any good, but it's definitely something new that we haven't done before. I'm going to take an IQ test next time and see how that goes.
No, the actual test – I mean, there's like thousands and thousands of questions, and it's – you know, no one is 100% introverted or extroverted. It's just kind of
– which is all I was saying.
Let's see. Pol Pot.
Get out of here.
No, there's some good ones on here. You got
– wait, are you serious? Pol Pot? Fuck you.
Jimmy Carter.
Hey, I'll take it.
Bess Truman.
Bess. Harry Truman's wife.
Yeah. Prince Charles.
Oh, so it's no wonder we get along so well.
Rand Paul.
Are you skipping to the bottom of the list?
No. The bottom of the list. The bottom of the list. The bottom of the list is Heinrich Himmler.
God damn it.
And Francisco Franco, the
son
Spanish
of
dictator.
Bitch.
But no. There's like there's Mother Teresa, Rosa Parks.
Okay, I'll take it.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bruce Willis.
I've always said
Bruce Willis, though. Michael Caine. You got some good ones on here. I mean, it's no Mary Mother of God.
And what is, to be fair?
Also, I think Luke Skywalker probably.
If the fictional character had been able to take the pet, yeah.
But also, I mean, let's be honest, Heinrich Himmler. Well, that was a good
losing.
Segment. That's a new segment.
Where we take personality tests online for a Dante podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of.
What do you think Dante was?
Just with the best.
Nope.
Top.
All right, can I look up one
Tops.
More thing?
God, you're going to look up which one Dante was? Yeah. Based on what, David?
I don't know.
I ask you, how do you know Luke? Luke, the from the Gospel of Luke, big writer Luke.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if he's the same type as Luther, was it Luther Campbell? Uncle Luke? Was it Dr. Luke? Who's the guy from Miami?
That would be Luther Campbell. Dr. Luke is
Live Crew.
A disgraced producer.
Mm-hmm.
Dante Myers-Briggs. What do you think he
– Never should have – having the internet in this room is a bad idea.
I know. It's a bad idea.
Did you know –
I don't know. Look it up later.
No, look it up. I mean, we're already – this okay, already all right, like all right, you kill, elbows kill, deep into the bit here, for better or worse.
Kill time.
So you mentioned some famous – well, leaders is putting it lightly. Fascist leaders, essentially. Did you know that the word
– Franco an introvert?
Right? How do you – I'd rather, like, I'm out, like, you know, slaughtering people, but I'd much rather just be at home, you know, with a nice book curled up with a cup of tea.
Heinrich Himmler was a quiet man.
Yeah, exactly. Until he wasn't. Although, so here's the thing. The word bigot, B-I-G-O-T, I learned this recently, comes from bigote, which means mustache. I say this because I still have the mustache. I think I'm gonna finish off with the mustache, though. I'm not going to shave it off. I'm just going to allow the surrounding beard to come back in. I keep getting people ask me if I'm doing the Movember thing. What is that? Prostate cancer?
Well, it's I think it's like raising money for you. You like take a picture and you're like, hey, everybody, it's November 1st. I'm not going to shave. Like, donate $5 for my mustache or whatever. And then at the end of the month, it's
– So you're sponsoring the mustache is what you're doing?
Or the – I mean, you, well, it would be like a full beard.
So am I like a month ahead here because I shaved my – I mean I've had the mustache since like a couple days before Halloween.
I don't think it matters.
All right. People keep asking me, like, it's actually just a Halloween costume. I was Magnum P.I. and I'm just not – just doing – I'm just keeping it going. I'm just keeping the party going. Not lazy because, I mean, shaving takes more work than – listen, keeping entropy at bay is like right. 90% of what I'm about.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
If there's one thing you know about me.
That's cool. Did you know it takes more muscles to frown than to smile? So,
you're such an INFP, bro.
hold on, INFP.
It does take a lot of muscles to smile. It takes a train to cry,
but more to frown.
I don't understand that.
INFP, Edgar Allan Poe. What were you? I don't even remember.
It was like something like –
it's like IST.
No, it was the J in there, like a hard J. Jurisprudence, I think, was part of it. Like, I think I got a degree at some point while you were evaluating me.
Probably. It took a while.
Let me ask you a question, Derby. Yeah. Coke Zero. What is that? Zero
– zero sugars. And this is the new –
because I bring it up because you're drinking a Coke Zero, which is out of a little bit out of character for you on the show. Normally just water or, you know, whatever.
Right. Water or coffee.
Yeah.
But I had to go to the gas store.
Sure. Where one purchases gas.
Yeah. And I was looking for something to have on the podcast.
Sure.
And I saw Coke Zero, and they have a new formula for Coke Zero.
Get out of town. Is it terrible?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It tastes almost – would you like to try it?
No, I don't have any frame of reference. I haven't had Coke in a very long time.
Okay.
But we remember, again, the callback to the first episode, episode zero, the new Coke thing, switching from the cane sugar to the high fructose.
Right.
New Coke was terrible. But you're saying the new Coke Zero is actually pretty good.
Yeah, and it I don't know what the sweetening agent is.
I don't think you want to know. It's like Soylent Green.
Aspartame.
Aspartame?
Aspartame.
Is that the stuff that kills mice? Aspartame. This is aspartame.
Yeah, aspartame.
Just every time you take a sip, you just kick a guy into a pit.
Through the moon
super
hole.
Buff, yeah. the moon door.
Moon door, that's it. You know, the moon.
See the man
hole.
Fly, yeah.
I think that's like the pink package, Sweden-Low.
Sweden-Low has, that's, I mean, it's another sweetener if that's what you mean. I thought you were more of a Splendaman.
I am a Splendaman. They actually, Coke made a Coke with Splenda. And they made one with stevia too, and they're just not very good.
Yeah, there was a Coke. There was one when I visited the Coke Museum last.
Uh-huh.
It was like a green pack. It was something like Coca-Cola Life or something.
Yeah, yeah.
What seems like it's like, is it a sitcom? Is it a cereal? What's going on here, guys?
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Did you get to that part where there's like all the different sodas from around the world at the end?
Yes, I thought you were going to ask me a question about the movie Life for some reason.
Yes.
With Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence.
So when he gets out,
so they're in prison.
He wants to start a club called the Boom Boom Room.
The soda's got really, real ambitions.
Did you try the notoriously bad Beverly?
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay. It's one that – I haven't been there since I was probably like 10 years old.
Yeah.
I really need to go because I do actually – you know, it's an Atlanta institution.
It's fantastic.
But there's this one terrible soda called Beverly, and like people are always tricked by it.
Tricked how? How does a soda trick a person?
It seems like it's Beverly.
It'll taste nice.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I don't feel like I know any people our age named Beverly, but like seems mm-hmm. like your Aunt Beverly could, you know.
Yeah. Aunt.
And it just tastes terrible.
And, you know, Bev.
It's a beverage.
Right. That's where I'm going with that.
No.
Famously bad.
It's a good combination of words. I don't know. This episode, I'm a little out of sorts a little bit. But,
hey, that's fine.
Yeah. I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I don't, and I totally lost track of how far in. Okay, so we're like halfway in, whatever. Should we go to talk about the book some, and then maybe something? I'm sure there's something I really wanted to talk to you about, but I really can't. I'm drawing a blank here. The Coca-Cola Museum is fantastic. We're talking about New Coke. I don't really remember the rest of it.
Do you want to take a quick pause?
Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Bye. And we're back.
All right. I'm going to try to get some – this is the first time we've done an episode a week, like back to back in a while. We were doing it like once a week for a while, and I want to try to get some traction here.
Uh-huh. We did like 3-in-1-day ones.
We did four – the very first four we did all in one day.
4-in-1-day?
Yeah, because remember the whole thing was let's do – it was Travis Santel's suggestion, actually. He's like, you know what? Uh-huh. Just get together. Find a day when you got that afternoon free. Just do like 5 of them.
Yeah.
Just bang them out and see if you got anything. See if you think it's worth putting out.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, arguably, we thought it was good, you know, or good enough to actually like merit, you know, publishing.
I mean, whatever. At that point, you know.
You already sunk 4 hours into it. So
right.
Might
right.
as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I'm glad we don't do that anymore. And now even doing like 1 a week is like I'm still like burnt out from last week.
It's like
I guess,
mentally,
you know?
Taxing. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
No, that's fine. We'll get a little traction here. Speaking of which, I want to give – we've been talking about mustaches. I need to give you your mustache CD back. It was fantastic. I enjoyed it from top to bottom.
Did you import it onto your
– I did. I don't want to – I feel now that makes me feel cheap though.
No, that's fine.
Because I'm buy a copy. I don't know if it's available for sale.
I don't know that it is.
I meant to look and see if it was on like Bandcamp.
I don't think it is.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, then you and I have it.
It's the two of us.
And much like Breakfast at Tiffany's, it's one thing we've got.
Yes.
So we've got just to remember, we talked last time briefly about getting into a whole thing on modern Christianity. I don't think either one of us is really like has the mental bandwidth to do that right now. But maybe we'll put a pin in it again for another time. I brought some books that I kind of want to touch on at some point. But maybe once we get into the canto, maybe the best thing now is just to jump into the book. Before any more time gets away from us.
Yeah, I think that's
because I would hate to like hit a real funny vein or nerve, God forbid, and then not have time to actually get to the book until the very end.
Okay.
Because we all know how that goes. We start rushing around like the last 5 minutes. So this is Paradiso 8, right? Did you get it pulled up on your
– I did. I was finally able to connect to the worldwide web.
It's funny because you didn't seem to have any problem doing it for the last half hour.
Right, but that was on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
Our –
when it comes to – by the way, did you find out with Dante with Myers-Briggs before we move
on? Yeah.
PB&J. Yeah.
I don't know.
He's delicious. All right. Paradiso, Canto Ocho, right?
Yeah.
Still doing that bit.
Origin of the planet Venus's name. Ascent to the third heaven, the sphere of Venus. Charles Martel, the hammer.
Charles the Hammer Martel,
baby. His discourse on fathers and sons and the vicissitudes of heredity, and then on the need to respect men's natural dispositions.
Nicely done.
Spartame! I'm going to own up to it. I read that and was like, Aspartame. And then when you said aspartame, I was like, oh, right, that's how that word is pronounced.
Isn't that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, you're totally right. But
Aspartame
I just
is more like if it were Spanish, like if you were like, hey, give me that Sparta. Like beer me, you know?
So what you're saying is you're imagining an Italian guy and he's like, Aspartame.
Yeah, like Sparta me, bro.
Yeah, hit me up with that Sparta.
Beer me that Sparta. I guess probably didn't have beer back in – well, maybe they
did. Yeah,
dude. I think of Italia.
Oh, well, no.
I'm thinking guess, Italy, Italia. I'm thinking
think
of vino.
They had wine.
Exactly, the vino.
Yeah. But wasn't beer invented by monks?
It was. Well, I mean, it's probably been in like Mesopotamia or something, but I think it's the monks are credited with its popularization. Much like back in Full House, they say the Greeks invented music, but the Italians perfected it. When she's Jesse Katsopoulos' mom is like she's swooning and getting all weak in the knees about Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a random pull from the Full House episode.
So the Italians perfected.
Well, meaning like the Greeks may have invented music, but for her, for Mrs. Katsopoulos, is $0.02. Got $0.02
right
here,
bro. Like, I don't know, Mozart or...
Well, he was Italian, right?
Yeah.
Sure. We'll claim him.
From
it's just
the
a giant
famous
kick...
town of Salzburg.
It's just a giant kickball game. It's like the racist or the racial draft. Really? Remember the old Chappelle
Wolfgang
thing?
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. the racial draft.
Yeah, I almost said I did say the racist draft, which is weird.
Yeah, that's
I don't want that. Got a real getting bigoted.
And the first pick.
So this is – I got to add – do you know much about – sorry. We did this earlier and I thought it was funny, but I don't want to recreate that. I tried to ask David if he knew much about history, and he just started singing Sam Cooke lyrics to me basically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know much about –
And I did confess to not knowing much about science book.
Still. I don't know what it's going to take for you to get on that science book, bro. I still have my science books from like high school. Is that weird?
Why?
Because it has science in it.
We had to give ours back.
Oh, no. No, I kept mine. Oh. I mean, come on. It's got like calculus in it.
Part of that privileged private school upbringing.
Well, no, there was one where like I took a like a Buddhist and Confucian cultures of Asia
in high school?
Class. No. This is the one semester I was at Cornell. I took it and I went to sell it back. And
Cornell.
The books were like... you know, up on the – I don't even know what the euphemism is like. Up on the mounts or whatever, you know. Eli, whatever.
Elihu Cornell.
I think it was actually Ezra, which is another kind of like Old Testament-y name.
That's very Old Testament-y.
It's Old Testament-y fresh.
Moses sort of has an Old Testament
ring
to it.
I'll tell you, Ezra, there was really no one better than him.
Yeah.
Well, you know if there was one.
Yeah, well, sure.
I'm doing my old better than Ezra joke here. Sorry. Number two?
I thought you were saying
Ezra.
I thought we were saying Jesus was number one.
Oh, then Ezra?
In the Bible.
Oh, I guess. I mean, was he in direct competition to Ezra?
Well, I mean, you said that you were the one saying, you know, better than.
Better than, less than, who cares? But I don't know much about history.
Hey, this guy's better than Ezra, but he's less than Jake.
Ooh.
So is Ezra Jake? Wait a minute.
Don't.
Hold on.
Don't go down this wormhole of like figuring out a whole syllogism.
Whole hierarchy. All right. Better than Ezra. So Ezra's here. Less than Jake.
This is like an SAT question.
The question is, where is Jake in relation to Ezra?
Less than Jake, better than Ezra? I don't know.
And where do words fit in?
It's more than words.
More than words.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a whole elaborate, you know, greater than, less than, symbols everywhere.
He lives in the blue house?
It's like the heart symbol. It's really just like less than three. Like, all right, so it's two or one or zero. Coke zero sounds to me like I'm thinking like patient zero.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like ground zero.
That's where it starts.
Yeah. Is it though? Because it's like Diet Coke is like, all right, well, like we took some of the sugar out of Coke. Coke Zero is like, there's no sugar in this whatsoever.
Right.
At what point do they go negative?
At what point do you get like ripped?
Negative. Shredded. That's what I was saying. Like you kick the guy in the pit. All of a sudden you look down and you just got like shredded abs. And
yeah.
Just,
what have you been doing? Drinking Coke. I'm a machine.
Just got cast in the sequel to 300. 301. Was it 1332? Was that your thing?
1332, twice as evil. Just a jacked guy walking past, like walking down the street, like looks in a window of a gym, just shakes his head at the idiots.
Paying for membership. That is true. I mean, well, I don't know. I understand people that get gym memberships. I mean... But there's also like the great outdoors, right? I mean, you just go for a run. I hate running though. I fucking
Running's
hate it.
Terrible.
It's the worst. I don't know why. I feel like I like running only insofar as it's like practice for being chased by someone.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Because if somebody starts chasing me, I got to tell you, I'm out of practice. Because as I said, I hate running so much.
Yeah.
Then again, swimming, like, I don't know what that was practice for, just more swimming.
I mean, like, I will swim and I feel like, oh, I'm getting like really efficient and I'm getting pretty good at this.
Yeah.
But like any sea creature could catch me. It's like you don't train to like outswim a shark.
Yeah, that's true. We're not training to outrun a gazelle either. I mean, for all the times you're out on the open savanna of yeah. – I don't know. Running, I guess. I don't know. I would.
Yeah, but like we evolved to be able to walk on two legs on land.
Yes.
You know? So like running makes you good at something you evolved to do. Whereas like swimming,
yeah.
Like we're not supposed to be able. I mean, I
know. It's like Icarus out there in the pool, you know?
Yeah.
What are you doing? It's hubristic.
Yeah.
All the swimming.
It is. It's against nature. Am I going to outswim this octopus?
Exactly.
This sea monster?
Speaking of which...
we did learn to outfly a bird.
But did we?
In airplanes?
Oh, in airplanes, yeah. Airplanes are completely unnatural.
In an airplane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, I...
have to look up the speeds of birds, but...
Was it a laden swallow, all that?
African European.
Yeah. Sorry. Yep. But I mean, if you're going to run, I mean, you're talking about running, you're not going to out, I mean, it's actually much less efficient to be, bipedal.
Right. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. There you go.
Bipedal. Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. It's less efficient, but at the same, I think we talked about this a long time ago with Hans Blumenberg, but it was so you could actually see what was on the horizon. You know?
Yeah. You have
a farther
field of view.
Yeah.
By being upright.
But there's a Harrison Ford's character has a bit on this in The Mosquito Coast. It's also completely inefficient because it exposes your – I mean, it exposes your neck, your heart, your genitals, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's the big three. If we're talking Charles Darwin, Chucky D, and the Chucky D's big three. How come – is that what Chuck D stands for in Public Enemy?
Charles Darwin?
Yeah. There's a lot of famous Charles in this episode. Charles the Hammer Martell or Chucky Hammer.
Are we going to get into him?
We probably should. I don't remember much about him. Charles Martell, he's referred to as Carlo in here because Italian, hello. Carlo Martello.
Right.
He was, what was it, 7th, 8th century ruler?
Correct.
He was the son of Pepin. Also the – I'm sorry. He was the son of Pepin, also the father of Pepin the Short or Pepin
the Lesser. Yeah. Or something.
Yeah. Less than Pepin.
Yep. That's a
Pepin the Step.
All right. We got to stop. I got to work this in.
Scotty Pepin.
Figure out where this goes. Pepin the Short. Yes.
Yeah.
Grandfather of Charlemagne.
Chuck. The big big Chuck.
Now,
is
that's
they call
the
him.
Big dog.
That's the – I mean, literally.
To me, his,
if we're talking Chucks, yeah. And I'm being honest,
uh-huh.
Chuck, I mean, he's literally Charles, Carlos, or was it, it's a Carolingian dynasty, you know, that whole thing.
That's him.
The big
Holy
one.
Roman Empire.
Yeah, that one. H-R-E.
Yeah.
And name literally means Charles the Big, or the Large, or the Magna.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and this is where we're going to get into a thing, because he's talking about Venus.
We're in the realm of Venus, the most beautiful of all... planets.
But as our esteemed colleague, who would probably not appreciate us referring to her as our colleague, as though there's any kind of like
Dorothy Parker.
Same levelness. Yeah. Teodolinda Berlini, who does the commentary on the Columbia website, she points out very quickly that Venus is a total anticlimax. There's a lot of different like
Beatrice
eros
looks
being
prettier.
Discussed. She gets prettier, and she gets prettier as the, I think the Mandelbaum note says. She gets prettier as she gets closer to, I guess they're in the Empyrean technically, right? But like as she gets closer to God, she gets prettier.
Yeah,
just looking better every day. It just looks better and better.
Mm-hmm.
However, so Dante meets his pal Charles Martel. I don't know how they're so chummy. Because he lived like 600 years before him or so.
Right.
Like it was a while. It was like 500 to 600 years, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Charles Martel died in...
like 7 something.
741.
There you go. And...
in the Picardy region of France.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. And so... and they can't even really see him because it says at like 52... I think this is Charles talking. He says, "My happiness surrounding me with rays keeps me concealed from you. It hides me like a creature that is swathed in its own silk." And so, There's a lot of – this is another one of those really dense episodes with a ton of names. And you can go through, as we are probably, I'm going to assume, not going to go through right. all these names. It's just a lot to unpack. And a lot of them are just kind of like – they're just geographical places. It's just kind of – just name dropping. Dante does this sometimes. You know, it's just kind of back in familiar territory. But I could unpack what some of them mean. If David, if you're curious about any of these. But, I mean, they're all in the notes and all that. Mostly curious about his question because Charles Martel is talking about – it's his brother, right? Edward?
Yeah. No, his son. No, wait.
No, because his son is Pepin.
He had multiple sons though. Because they're talking about like why a son isn't always an exact copy of the father.
Right.
And it's because of providence?
It says – this is the digital – yeah. The digital Dante thing says Charles Martel discusses – wait a minute. This is saying Charles Martel was from 1271 to 1294.
That's a different Charles Martel then, right?
Then this is a different guy than we've been talking about this entire time.
So wait, okay. Is the Charles Martel in this – do we need to pause for a second?
Maybe.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Okay. So we paused it for like a second and then we just we should just keep recording because it'll be funny to just figure out what exactly we're talking about. You said Charles Martel looks like whom exactly?
He looks like the Burger King.
The King?
Yeah.
Not Ronald McDonald.
No.
The actual King of Burgers.
Yeah. From the chain
Rex
Burger King.
Rex Burgerus.
Yeah. No, he looks like – look at this guy. Hold on. I'm turning the –
spin it around. Let me see.
This is his grave. Oh, God.
Holy shit, he does. That's wild. Wait, I'm thinking of Mayor McCheese.
Yeah, you're thinking of Mayor McCheese.
Yeah,
probably.
My bad.
This Burger King looking motherfucker.
Wait, so we've been talking about the wrong guy this entire time?
That's embarrassing. No. Okay, hold on.
Hold on. No, the solo speaking to Dante is that of Charles Martel, born, 1271. What are the odds that he's the same, that it's the same name?
So we're sitting here talking about...
Charlemagne.
We're talking about Charlemagne.
Yeah. Grandson, he's the grandson of Charles I of Anjou.
Oh, Pear.
He spent about 20 days in Florence in 1294.
Okay.
Yeah, pair. That's good.
Yeah.
So it was probably then that Dante and Charles formed the friendship. Okay, so scratch everything we just said, people.
Yeah.
You know what? And I'll stand by it. A lesser couple of dudes would probably go back and delete all that because it sounds like we don't know what we're talking about. But
yeah.
Hey, you learned something about Charles the Hammer Martel.
I want people to look at this picture of Charles Martel, the hammer. At this Burger King ass motherfucker.
Yeah, right.
No, this guy, Charles Martel of Anjou, does not look like a Burger King. He actually kind of looks like Ronald McDonald, though.
See, I mean, it's all in the family, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's how Charles knows, because he recites part of one of Dante's canzones to him at some point.
Oh.
He has his old calzone. And which you've heard and admired at the time of their meeting. Charles Martel died only 1 year later in 1295 at the age of 24. Jeez, 24. Yikes. Yeah, he died young. And so now that we know that we're talking about someone completely different, let's get back into it.
Okay.
So he's talking about his brother, it says in the Berolini commentary.
Yeah.
His brother, Robert.
Yeah.
And then Dante gives different examples of, like, one man is born with a disposition for law and governments, like Solon. Another with the disposition to be a warrior, Xerxes. Another has inborn talents that lead him to be a priest. And he's basically saying, like, how can a sweet fruit or something yield a sour
– yeah, right.
Or the seed-fruit relationship.
So is this before, like, Gregor Mendel and, genetics and all that stuff.
Genetic differentiation?
Yeah, because, like –
I think it might have been just before, but I might be wrong about that as well.
Okay. Because –
the idea of dominant genes, recessive genes, Gregor Mendel basically had, like, a bunch of – pea pods. Yeah.
It would seem that the reason why a son isn't a carbon copy of the father is because there's another, like, the genes of the mother.
Yeah.
You know?
No, exactly.
But he comes up with this whole thing about, like, providence and how can you explain
that? I think the idea is that because variety is the spice of life.
Yeah. That's great.
That's good, isn't it? I should write that down. just thought that. No, it's the idea that like...
Oh, well, yeah. Gregor Mendel was like 19th century.
Oh, wow.
But same
area. It took us that long to figure out genetics?
Czech Republic, though. I'll tell you one thing about...
Was he? I thought he was Italian.
No, they perfected Claiming him. They perfected it. I'll tell you what, Charles Martel of Anjou, he might as well be the Burger King because he was the King of Hungary.
Now we're back into it.
Okay, yeah, there's like photographs of Gregor Mendel.
Oh, like daguerreotypes and shit? Yeah, okay. That's a thing, right?
No, I mean like Polaroid.
Like this is his Insta right here. I'm showing it to you. My man is recent.
My man has a presence.
Would you say he's dominating the... That was a bad genetic
I'm
joke.
Gonna we can get maybe we can get him on the podcast. Let me just slide into his DMs.
Should probably take a recess to you say slide into his DMs? That sounds so dirty. Whoever thought that this would so a little bit of a rocky start, and now we're just like making like weird innuendo about
this
the guy who's
really into pee.
The Jesus Christ! All right, so okay, so getting back into it. So the question is, and this is where I'm gonna actually use a book that I bring here, which I rarely do. I usually just bring the book and kind of wave it around.
Yeah.
So I'm waving it around. Uh-huh. It's a Harvard Burgundy. This is Ernest Jones' Papers on Psychoanalysis. He has this fascinating thing that I first discovered back maybe like 12 or so years ago. I mentioned this a long time ago. John Irwin.
Mm-hmm.
Doubling and Incest, Repetition and Revenge.
Okay.
Speculative reading of William Faulkner, or Faulkner, whatever. Uh-huh. Amazing book. One of the best critical books I've ever read in my life. Waving it around.
Wouldn't expect him to write that after reading Prayer for Owen Meany.
Different guy.
Uh-huh.
But I mentioned it because the epigraph is actually that – remember that quotation that I mentioned with regard to Dante and Beatrice like way back in the day? The epigraph is – I believe that every word a writing man writes down or writes is put down with the ultimate intention of impressing some woman that probably don't care anything at all for literature. Remember this?
Yeah.
As is the nature of women.
Right.
It's because a quote from Faulkner's Mosquitoes, which is like, okay. And then it's like at the very end, it's like, all right, well, so this just took a misogynistic turn for no reason.
Yeah.
So he has a whole thing in here. It's actually a pretty fascinating book. Again, Papers on Psychoanalysis by Ernest Jones. And he has a thing called the fantasy of the reversal of generations, which has a lot to do with why grandparents favor their grandchildren.
Okay.
Because there's this kind of like alternation of generation in terms of the kind of Oedipal struggle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like it's confusing the way that he presents it because he starts with the term B and then goes to A and then goes to C. So it should just go ABC.
Right.
Linearly.
Okay.
But basically saying you have a father – so you're born, you have a father. Let's say your father is really strict with you. He's really hard on you. Maybe he hits you a little bit, whatever. This is a long time ago written.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, someday I'm going to, they're part of it's the idea that kids think that at some point their parents are going to get small. And it's like, well, when you're small like I am now and I'm big like you are now, I'm going to take this out on you and you'll see who's boss then. It's just a weird kind of fantasy. But it's also the thing of like, oh man, like I really wanted to, like I have all this resentment toward my father for, you know, hitting me all the time or whatever it was, or just being so strict. And now my son is going to take that out on me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense? It's tenuous.
I think I know.
I'm doing a bad idea or bad job of paraphrasing it. But it's also the idea of, let's say like you're born into the family, like your dad is a family business and you want to do your own thing. You don't want to be like your dad. You want to separate yourself. You want to differentiate yourself, getting back to the text here. And say like, well, no, I want to do my own thing. I want to do this. I don't want to work in like the family business. And then it's a revolt against your father. Well, then you have your own kid who wants to revolt against you. So he ends up identifying with not you, but like not his own dad, but with his dad's dad.
Okay.
And the grandfather favors the kid. I don't know. It's a thing of like just alternation, whatever fantasy.
Well, I guess, I mean, like we named our daughter after my grandfather.
Yeah, I was named after my grandfather. Paul is my grandfather's middle name.
Huh.
I think we talked about this before. Speaking of Martello, I was almost named Marcello.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
Would have been. I feel like things would have turned out a little differently for me.
For old Marcello.
For all those who say, what's in a name? I give you Exhibit A.
You would absolutely...
It's just for some reason, to Marcello, like speculate about.
I just picture like a Commedia dell'arte clown. You know what I mean?
Just like the long nose and the yeah, like the, like just doesn't talk much.
I know you jumping wildly here. That's fine. The title of that book made me remember that you have not seen the newest season of Twin Peaks.
I've not.
And I need you to see that because there's a lot about doppelgangers.
Oh, the other book, the repetition and revenge thing.
No, the doubling and incest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, just doubling.
Yeah. I thought you meant Papers on Psychoanalysis. This is not a very telling title, you know.
Oh, no. I don't know anything about
that. No, I'm all about doppelgangers.
Yeah.
I wrote my – I mean, part of my – the big thrust, if I can say that, of my –
Yeah, sure. I'll allow it.
Of my thesis. Yeah. That whole thing on Palamedes that I talked about ages ago with regard to Ulysses was about doppelgangers and doppelganger theory. It's a fascinating thing. It's a – and honestly I wouldn't say a burgeoning field, but this is a great book for any – hey, listen. If you like doubling and you like incest, repetition, revenge, into that too, I would definitely recommend this book. It's fantastic. Do you remember the
thing – So if you're into incest
– what's the old thing? Like, if you like honey but you also like mustard, what you're going to want to do, get the honey mustard. It's fantastic. You remember that old thing that we used to do back in the day? If you like sweet, but you also like the sour, what you gonna want to do? Go with the sweet and sour. It's fantastic. I can't recommend it highly enough. Like some guy who just discovered like very basic sauces and condiments. Like, listen to me. Let's just hear me out, okay?
If you like mustard, but you want it to be a little spicy,
you get a little tang. A little tangy. Are we almost out of time here? How's it looking?
No, we have much more time.
God damn it.
Keep going. okay, so...
trying to go out on a high note.
Paradiso 8.
Wait, seriously. How long? I feel like we've been doing this for like an hour.
Yeah, I mean, we're it's close. It's like 57.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
What's that little thing of...
I'm just trying to make sure there's nothing... let's see. So
I think that's most of it, because it kind of – I thought it kind of ended on – oh, there's that thing of what Martel says – and again, if you're just joining us, this is 12th century – or I'm sorry, 13th century Martel, not the one from 600s as we previously – I'm never getting a teaching job after this. he says at 115, tell me, would a man on earth be worse if he were not a citizen? Yes, I replied, and here I need no proof. Now, that apparently is a reference. It's going back from, I guess there were some Augustinian echoes in the previous canto. Now this is getting back to Aristotle and the whole concept of man being a social animal, which this actually is very fitting that we did all the Myers-Briggs stuff, or Briggs-Meyer, whatever you call it.
Exactly.
Because we're talking about man as a social animal. I remember growing up thinking, like, the hell he is. Or like John Donne saying, like, no man is an island. Like, all right, disproved. I'm just going to hang out over here until John Donne is rolling in his grave. But it is true. I mean, we rely on each other. We're trying to have a society here
and
all that.
Yeah, yeah. And when the world tries to force someone into a box that doesn't really fit them, it doesn't go as well.
Putting baby in a corner, as they say. Ill-advised.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on record.
I would not encourage it.
Don't do it. Have you – so you're a dad. You have you done a thing where you put your baby in the corner and you take some sort of viral photo? Seems weird. Probably don't do that.
I think if there was some way to embody the concept of nobody.
Like Orko, for example.
Yeah, yeah. Let's say there's a
just like
a picture.
An empty,
let's say
an empty jumper.
Yes. Let's say, H.G. Wells's Invisible Man.
Sure.
Pushes baby into a corner. That would be fun.
Just nobody put baby in a corner.
One time we had to read Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man as a summer reading thing, and I was halfway through H.G. Wells's before someone pointed it out. I mean, it's pretty good.
It's kind of like – I mean, it's kind of like what just happened with this whole thing about Charles Martel.
Charles Martel.
Charles Martel. Yeah, well, I'm glad
mistaken identity.
I'm glad we caught that because we would have spent the entire next episode correcting this one.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some people that listen to this and for like 10 minutes they're just like, oh,
they're just chomping at the bit, like, guys, you got the wrong guy.
Someone's going to slide into our DMs and let us know.
Be all up in my shit 24/7. That's my new phrase I like.
Okay.
Be all up in your shit 24/7. But here, I thought that he was talking about when he says, like, and here I need no proof. I thought he was saying, like, well, yeah, because I'm not a citizen because I'm exiled.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also interesting for him to talk about what it means to be a meaningful citizen with regard to the fact that he really is a man of no country. Well, he has a country, I guess. But yeah. He's more like a man of the countryside, you know.
Well, the reason why it's good that people are different is because I'm like, what is it? I mean, he's talking about like warriors and like, you know, like
people need to do different jobs. Yeah.
Yeah. People need to do different jobs. Therefore, it is good that people are not all the same.
No, absolutely. And it's good that people follow their own inclinations, you know?
Yeah. And I'll say, not only does Dante say that, I also think that it's a good thing.
You are pro diversity.
Yeah.
And in these troubled times, what better message could there be than to follow your own star, follow your bliss, as Joe Campbell said.
Yeah, Joseph let your Campbell. Freak flag fly. As, I don't know, like wavy gravy or something.
Yeah, exactly. And that's probably a good note to
yeah, that's a good
get
one.
Out of your own. All right, yeah, let's wrap this up. Throw away.
What is a freak flag?
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Did you just make that up?
No.
Oh.
Tune in next time to find out what a freak flag is and who came up with that saying.
Oh, God. All right, so it's been real. Our theme song is Paul. I'm so out of practice. Our theme song is Hell on You by an English Place. My name is Paul Cantrell.
My name is David Fountain.
And we'll see you in hell. Hey!